Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hello, this is Carol Topp, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to show number 43, the best microbusiness for a teenager to start this week. And it is summertime, and summertime is such a great time for a teenager to consider starting and running a microbusiness, both because they should have a little extra time on their hands, and maybe they've taken a little break from the academic schoolwork, but ready to learn a lot about important things like making money and managing their time by running a microbusiness. You know what? It's also a really good time for a teenager to think about what happens after high school. And I have a new book, Career Exploration for Homeschool High School Students, that can help your teenager with this very important decision about what are they going to do for a career or picking a college major. And you can find this book, Career Exploration, over at my website, Microbusiness for Teens, as well as the information, books, and videos to help your teenagers start a microbusiness. So in this podcast, it'll be one of two parts today. You'll be listening to a presentation I did at a homeschool convention, so occasionally you'll hear questions from the audience and things like that. But what I really enjoy about this particular presentation about the best microbusiness for a teenager to start this week is that I got to present it with a teenager. Rachel Coker is my co-presenter, and Rachel was about 17 at the time, and she was running about three or four different microbusinesses. She's a published author, she was giving piano lessons, she was being a writing coach, and she's also done some photography. So I think you'll find Rachel's advice and information about her microbusiness is to be very encouraging and inspirational to you and your teenager. As always, you can find the show notes over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. Make sure you look for episode number 43, the best microbusiness for a teenager to start this week. And as the podcast starts, I'm kind of in the middle of a story or the beginning of a story about one teenager named Philip who was running a microbusiness, a website, and he was getting money from ads on the website. So I kind of jump into the middle of the story there, but I think you'll enjoy hearing about his story. If you enjoy the podcast, hey, please leave a positive review over at iTunes, over at the dollarsandcentsshow.com. You'll see the iTunes icon, and you can just click on that and leave a positive message. I would sure appreciate that. And best of all, of course, tell your friends. Or if you find the Microbusiness for Teens books or the Career Exploration book helpful to you, go ahead and please let the world know. Please leave a positive review on Amazon.com. I would sure appreciate it. And so I hope you enjoy the podcast. Philip's getting checks every month for his ads, Google ads, on his website. I said, well, that's great. You know, he's making a little bit of money from ads on his website. I thought, what a great microbusiness. And I was thinking the checks were, you know, 20, 50. She said, Carol, you don't understand. The checks are for $1,000 a month. I think he's going to go, oh, income taxes. I said, yes, he will. So Philip and I met. I became his accountant. We talked about what he was doing. He started with one person. Actually, he started this business with his best friend, John, now his former best friend. Because when Philip and John got successful, $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month, I said, Philip, it's time to file your partnership tax return. We've got a few more chairs if you want to come in. Raise you over here. There's a few more chairs, I think. I said, time to file your partnership tax return. And John, the other kid's father, said, oh, no, this isn't a partnership. This is my son's business. Philip works for my son. That was not what the boys had agreed to. They had formed a verbal partnership, very dangerous, and had nothing written down. So who got burned? Philip. And who learned his lesson? Philip. And who went on to be very successful?
Philip.
Yeah. I think a micro business should have very little started money. Philip started with the money, the stuff he already had in his house, his computer, his brain, his experience, his desire to learn more. I don't like the idea of teenagers starting with debt. It's okay maybe to borrow a tad bit of money from maybe your parents or grandparents, not a lot, a little bit, and you pay them back first, and then everything else after that is profit to you. Got a lot of ideas about how you can start a business with no debt. Some kids I know start a business with start a small business, especially a service-based business, which we're going to talk about, pocket the money, the profit, and turn it into then invest into another business, which might require some startup money. That's the idea. Use what you own already, your computer, your brain, your oven, your hands, your camera, your mind, your whatever, or what you already know, your knowledge. And you teenagers know a lot more about some things than you give yourselves credit for, okay? You're a lot closer to understanding and remembering algebra than I am. Here's Philip. I like the idea of a micro business being home-based, safer there. You can work the hours you want to. Philip used to email me at 1 or 2 a.m. Now, I didn't get those emails at 1 or 2 a.m. I got them at 7 a.m. when I woke up. But when was Philip working? 1 or 2 a.m. All right. Philip went off to college. I'll tell you a little bit more of his story. His senior year in high school, he called me and said, Mrs. Top, I got an offer on my website. Someone wants to buy my website that he built from nothing, from zero, just the computer, which he already had, right? And he said, the offer is, ready, $300,000. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's fabulous. What are you going to do? And he said, audacious 18-year-old, I think it's worth $1 million. I'm going to counteroffer and see what they say. I thought he was nuts. I'm this very conservative CPA. And I was like, take the money, Philip, take the money, you know? This pays for college. But Philip went to college on an entrepreneurial scholarship, guys. He didn't need tuition money. But they eventually negotiated up to $750,000. But he thought, I'm still enjoying this, and I really just think it's worth $1 million. He turned him down. He went off to college, and he continued running it. He ended up needing two dorm rooms, so his micro business became dorm-based. By the way, if you want to check out his website, it is freeforums.org. I'll tell you the end of the story, freeforums.org. He just hosts forums for groups to chat on the internet. Interesting, yeah. Anyway, he had to rent two dorm rooms, one for him to sleep in and one for his three computer screens and servers. You see him, he's set up there with quite a bit. Microbusiness should be very manageable. You should have time for sports. This is Philip. He played varsity baseball through high school. He did go to public high school. He was homeschooled up until high school, and then he went to public high school. But, you know, when baseball season came, the business kind of took a little of a backseat because he got busy. You should have times for friends, homework, youth group, whatever else you're interested in. Manageable. That's key. You guys have busy lives. So, you're here to find out what the best micro business is you can start this week. So I'm going to talk to you about getting an idea. Rachel's going to help me out. First of all, you need to see a need. Let's talk about your sister Hannah and a need she saw. You stand up here so they can see this.
Sure.
Is this her?
Yes. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Rachel Coker, and I am 17 years old. And me and my younger sister Hannah, who's 15, both run our own micro businesses from home. My sister Hannah is actually a fashion designer of sorts. I cannot sew to save my life. I'm terrible at it. My sister Hannah is very gifted, and she designs skirts like the one that I'm wearing today. My sister made this for me. She made it for me over like 2.5 hours right before I left. I was like, I want to wear one of your skirts while I'm speaking so I can show it to people. But when my sister and I first signed up for ballroom dancing lessons about a year and a half ago, we realized that there was a dress code at this ballroom dancing place where we go that says all the girls have to wear skirts that come down to their knees. And me being 5'8" and my sister is just about half an inch shorter than me, it's very hard for us to go into stores and to find skirts that are long enough for us to wear to our ballroom dancing class. So my sister, who loves to sew, she never uses pattern. She makes it all up in her head, and she just sews it on her sewing machine at home. She came down for church one day, and she was wearing this adorable skirt. And I said, where did you get that? It came down to her knee, and it was really cute. And she's like, oh, I was bored last night, so I made it when I was upstairs. And I was like, I want one. And so she made me one in a different fabric, and we both wore it to our dancing place. And all of a sudden, all of my sister's girlfriends were like, where can I get a skirt? Can you make me one? And I sort of said to Hannah, I was like, Hannah, you can sell these skirts. You can sell them to people, and these girls need them. They have the money set aside to buy skirts anyway. And you both be benefiting from, you know, your creative design. So she started selling them. Before she knew it, she started a website on Etsy. And she's gotten over 100 orders within the last year from different girls all over the country, and from sororities and for weddings and all kinds of people who need these, you know, cute, modest skirts. So that's what my sister does, and it's all because of a need that she saw at our ballroom dancing place.
That's a great story, isn't that? So cute. Okay. Also, you might want to follow your interests. This kid, Alex here, has an interest in acting. You know, he does, you know, theater. He's homeschooled. And so what he did was goes to birthday parties, as you see, for boys, dressed as a Jedi Knight in character. And he teaches them how to fight with lightsabers, which you see are either those styrofoam pool noodles or something. It was just so cool. This kid was so busy, he was booked 3 months out. You could do that. If you have the acting bug and you don't mind, you know, going in character, you think that might be actually kind of fun. So his logo is, do you want to be a Jedi Knight? Of course you do. Everybody does. And he goes to birthday parties. Can you folks want to step in? Is there any empty chairs? No, just one or two. Sorry. You could also consider your skills and talents. So see a need, think about your interests or your skills and talent. This is my daughter, Emily. What do you think her skill or her talent was? Piano. So parents, how many hours has your child invested? How many dollars have you invested in lessons in an instrument that they could teach someone else? So this was one of her students. This was a recital. And it was neat. She made, she charged $7 for a half-hour lesson, which was half of what grown-ups charged and double what she's going to make anywhere else, isn't it? So she would have about 7 students making $50 a week. Think she was pretty happy with that? Yeah, that was pretty good. That was spending money. That's great. And it was just something she loved, and the kids loved her because, you see, she's about 18 there, I think. She's now in college. She's a lot less intimidating than some piano teachers. Okay, now, a lot of times when kids think of a micro business they want to start, they think of a product. And since I'm calling this the best micro business, I'm going to talk about products. There's definitely some advantages, but there's definitely some disadvantages. And I want to talk and maybe convince you to think about service-based businesses because they're easier to start and shut down. They're quicker to start. Service-based businesses are quicker to start, okay? And they're usually a little easier to control in your life, okay? Now, if you have a great idea for a product like Rachel does, we'll let her talk in a minute, but go for it. I want to introduce you to this product. This is a product called a Man Can. Hart Main, who's a teenager here in Ohio, came up with this idea for man-scented candles. Because his younger sister was selling candles, but they had girly scents. So he wanted manly scents like sawdust, dirt. Let's see, what's one of his popular ones? Grass, freshly cut grass, grandpa's pipe. And this one is called New York Style Pizza. Clever. This kid's website went viral. He had so many orders, he couldn't fulfill them all. He put them on his website. He said, you know, thank you for your orders. I'm filling them as fast as I can, but I still have to go to school. Now, here's the problem with products. What's that a picture of? The minivan full of, Hart uses Campbell soup cans. He's environmentally friendly. He donates the soup to a soup kitchen. Very cool. He's been featured on Biz Kids, which is a PBS television show. Very cool. And so, yes, this is part of the problem, inventory. He has to make up these candles before he knows if they're going to sell, right? He has to ship them. He has to, you know, always have enough inventory to make a sale because if you don't, people get angry. There are some ways to get around that. Why don't you talk about what Hannah does with her skirts, and then we're going to let you talk about your products.
Yeah, as long as we're talking about products, I think that my sister Hannah is a great example because of the skirts that she makes that I was talking to you guys about a few minutes ago. A lot of you guys may think, okay, I'm going to sell something, maybe if you sew or do something like that, and you think, man, I'm going to end up having like 50 to 100 skirts that I have to keep in all different sizes and all different patterns. But what Hannah actually does is she custom makes skirts, okay? So she has on her website, she lists her different designs and she has her different fabrics, and she tells people, if you want to order a skirt, I want you to send me your waist measurement, and I want you to send me how long it would have to be to come down to your knee. And so if I was ordering a skirt from Hannah, I would tell her, like, this is how wide my waist is, and this is how tall I am. And Hannah will make the skirt according to that person's measurements, and she will send it to them within a week or two of getting the order. So she doesn't have any back inventory. She makes all of them exactly as they come in, and she never has to worry about the raw materials that she buys not being used.
That custom ordering is a fabulous idea if you're making products, and it works great. Okay, here's Rachel Coker. I've already kind of introduced her, but she's got two products. Come on over and let's. Rachel is a published author. She is the youngest author to be published by Zondervan, major publisher, Christian publisher. And what's the award you've been nominated for, Christian?
Christian Book of the Year.
Christian Book of the Year for the new author. That's a major nomination. When do you find out if you won?
April,
soon. So let's have you talk a little bit about, you know, book writing. We have a whole nother workshop we're doing tomorrow at 11:30 called How You or Your Child Can Be a Published Author. So we'll talk more about being an author there. But I wanted Rachel to just talk a little bit about, you know, selling a product, being a book. And then later she's got several service-oriented business, micro-businesses she's going to talk about too. But let's talk a little bit just about what it's like to sell books as a product.
Sure. Okay, like y'all heard, I am a published author. I was 14 years old when I wrote my first book, and I was 16 when it was published with Zondervan, so I was the youngest author to ever get published with that company. But it's not always easy selling books yourself. Luckily, I work with a fantastic company, and I have a publicist who helps me set up different TV interviews or radio interviews and things like that. But when it comes down to it, I am my own best publicist when it comes to calling people, asking if I can come speak at places. Luckily, Mrs. Topp here offered for me to come and speak with her. But lots of times if I'm going to a convention or somewhere like that, I have to call myself. I have to try to sell myself in order to come and be able to sell my books. And so if you have a product that's very closely related to you, like the fact that my books were written by a teenage girl, a homeschool girl, a Christian, I like to talk to people about all these different aspects of my books, and that really is the best way of selling it to people. I like to go to schools and libraries and anywhere.
The names of your books.
Right, yeah. My first book was called Interrupted, Life Beyond Words. That was when I was published when I was 16. And then it's a young adult fiction novel. It's about a girl who grew up in the 1940s whose mother passes away of a brain tumor, and she has to move across the country and live with an adopted mom. She's very bitter and angry at first, but as she gets older, God softens her heart and helps her to realize that she can love her friends and her family, even if they're not what she had originally expected. And then my second young adult book, Chasing Jupiter, I wrote that when I was 16, and it came out just this past December, so right after my 17th birthday. And this is a book set in 1969, in the middle of the space race and all the different stuff that was going on in America in that time. And it's about a girl named Scarlett who has a younger brother who has autism. But nobody knew what autism was in the 1960s, so their whole family is just thought of as being very strange and very out there. You guys kind of think of, like, the things people call you when you're a homeschooler, you know? They're weird. They're different. You know, they're strange. And so she sort of has to learn how to protect her family and how to cherish her family and how to take on that responsibility at such a young age. And so when I'm selling these books, lots of times just what the books are about will help me to be able to sell them to people. I mean, if you have a family member who has autism, or if you know somebody who has autism or Asperger's or anything like that, you know, it's a great resource to give to them, you know, to help them to realize that they're not alone, that there are other people who go through this. And lots of times just young people who are interested in being writers or who love to read. I love talking to young people who love to read and encouraging them to pick up my books, you know, telling them you can be a writer if you want to. I didn't realize that I could until it actually happened. But it really is a great source of encouragement to people. And that really is my best selling point when it comes to just trying to get others to buy my books.
Yeah, I thought what Rachel shared about the market, when you have a product, you have to think, who am I going to sell it to first? And she's already thinking, I can sell it to people who have been touched by autism, right? I attended an entrepreneurial conference, and a young man there had a younger brother who had, I'm not sure if it was autism or something that made language difficult for his little brother, and he designed certain kinds of cards, picture cards, as a way for his little brother to communicate with him. When he realized it worked, he thought, then other people will benefit too. So think of who your audience is. Think of what your product, how it's going to help people. Remember that fill a need? That's really, really important. Talk a little bit about products and the problems they have. Rachel and I will tell you, hauling all those books into the convention center is not fun. we're building muscle. But, you know, there are some problems with it. So I want instead for you to maybe to think, especially if you want to start a business pretty quickly, maybe by this summer, think instead of services. And I have a picture here of a gearhead, literally a gearhead. You're using what you know inside your head or your time. You're basically selling your time when you're selling a service. Okay. I listed these on your handout. There's just a plethora of services, and I found this cool website that makes a really cool graphic out of it. But I know kids, and these are on my website and on my Pinterest page. Just go to Pinterest and look up Micro Business for Teens, and you'll see tons of ideas of kids. They are designing apps for the iPhone, website design, childcare. Childcare with a twist is a really good idea, too. Let me tell you about Kirsten. She loved kids, and she loved books, and she combined the two together with kind of a neat idea for childcare. Instead of waiting for the phone to ring and someone to hire her, she said, on Tuesday mornings during the summer for 6 weeks, I'm going to hold book club. And book club was a 3-hour block of time where children would come to her home. She would read them a book or maybe a couple of books on a theme. She'd have a craft and maybe a snack based on that book or that theme. And then the parents would come 3 hours later, pick them up. And she charged, I think, $45 for those 6 weeks of babysitting, if you will. She called it book club. She was so popular, the parents said, will you do this again in the afternoon for older kids? So she had set income. She knew what hours she was going to work. The parents were thrilled. She was meeting a need because those parents knew for 3 hours on Tuesday morning for 6 weeks in the summer, I'm free to do, you know, whatever. The parent had free time because she was running what she called book club, which is really just a twist on childcare. So think about something like that you could do. Oh, so what other ideas? Tutoring, writer. Dog walking, anything having to do with pets. If you are willing to clean cars, houses after pets, there will be someone who will hire you. It's not a great job. You don't have to do it your whole life, okay? This is not your life's calling necessarily, but a micro business is a time for you maybe to figure out what you're good at, try it out. Maybe it's just a way to make money to go on to the next thing you want to do. So like I said, if you're willing to clean, I will hire you, yeah. Okay, music lessons, those are really popular. If you have a skill, if you're good at something, algebra, drum lessons, guitar lessons. In my video, I have a video, PBS produced an hour-long television show called Starting a Micro Business. There's one kid, Ethan, homeschool kid, who taught guitar lessons to other kids. And he came up to me at one homeschool convention. It was really cute. And he's like, Mrs. Top, I'm so excited. You know, I'm making $100 a month. And the kid was 14. He can't get a job anywhere at 14, but he's making $100 a month doing guitar lessons. He is happy. When he wants more money, and he did because he wanted a cell phone, and mom said, you got to pay for it yourself, what did he do? Get more guitar students. Put out word, market a little bit, get more guitar students, teach more. Okay.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Rachel, come and talk about the service. Rachel is a busy kid. Not only does she have her books, but she has 3 other service-based micro-businesses. You can talk whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, let me think where to begin. I have lots of things that I like to do, and I figured out at a young age that in order to be able to do these things, I had to come up with ways to get paid so that it was actually worth my time. But what I have found is if you find the different things that you enjoy doing, that you're good at doing, and you find a way to serve others by doing it, there are going to be people that are going to take you up on it. Especially if you're passionate about it, if you're a good role model to younger kids, you know, there's going to be parents and there's going to be teens who want your services. So the first ever thing that I decided, I actually heard Mrs. Stopp speak a long time ago before she was my CPA, and I heard a workshop a lot like this, and I heard
3 years, long time.
Right. Well, 3 years ago, I was in my first year of high school, and I heard her example of her daughter, Emily, who teaches piano. Now, I've always loved piano. When I was younger, before I became an author, I had actually planned on becoming a concert pianist. So I've taken piano lessons for a long time. I was really good at it. And so I figured, well, this is when I was in ninth grade, I'm going to try to start teaching piano to a few of the younger kids. I think my first year, I charged like $5 or $6 for like a half hour lesson, and I had like 3 students. And so I was like, this is great. You know, I was getting very little money, but it was very easy for me to balance, you know, my first year of high school. So I was doing a lot of schoolwork, and I was just doing this piano in the afternoons. As word got out, more and more people wanted me to start teaching their kids piano, and I realized I should start charging a little bit more, or else I'm going to get pounded by all these people. As of this year, I have 15 piano students. I charge $18 for a half hour lesson, and I have had at least 10 people in the last few months ask if I would teach their children, and I've been saying no, because I don't have time. And I've never done any marketing. It's always just people asking if their younger kids can take on lessons, or neighbors moving to town and wanting to start taking lessons. So that's been a great source of income for me, and I probably won't do it again in the fall because I don't need to anymore. But I've always loved it, and I've loved those relationships. Photography. When I got my first book contract, I got a pretty nice size check from Zondervan, and I was trying to decide what to do with it, so I put some of it in savings. You know, I've been saving to buy a car, and I had some left over, so I bought myself a really nice camera because I love photography. And so after I bought this nice camera, I started taking pictures of people, you know, some of my friends and stuff. I told people, if you'll pay me $30, I'll take your family pictures and I'll give you the CD. It's an extremely cheap rate for photography. And I had like 12 different families ask me to do the $30 rate. And I had to book them all in like 3 months before Christmas. So like every single weekend I was taking all these pictures. And then I found out I had this huge portfolio. And with every family I was doing, my photography was getting more advanced. I was getting better at the editing process. And so after that, after Christmas came and all those families had already been photographed, I bought myself a new lens with the money that I had made. And with my new lens and my nice camera, and I had a clientele now, I had a portfolio, I started charging more, and I started doing second shooting for weddings, and I was doing seniors, and I was doing families. And so now I have a fully operating photography business, and I've never done any marketing. I've never paid to do any marketing or anything like that. But through word of mouth and through my Facebook fan page, which is a really great thing to do if you're going to start a business, because if your friends like your pages, then their friends are going to see it. You know, stuff like that. Also through Pinterest, I developed a clientele. And so now I have several photography bookings a month. I charge way more than the $30 that I did when I first started. And it's fun for me because I love it. It honestly doesn't feel like work at all. The writing tutoring you see up there is actually something that I'm planning on starting this summer and this fall as I give up my piano business. I love writing. Writing is such a huge passion of mine. It's something that I enjoy doing. And for a long time, I've run a blog, and I've given lots of writing advice to different teenagers and people throughout the years. And I've realized, you know, when I first started out writing, I had a writing coach. I had someone who taught me, you know, you can't use too many adverbs. You can't use too many adjectives. This is how you develop characters and develop scenes. And I figured, you know, that's something I would love to do for others. And so I started talking about it on my blog. I advertised in a few different areas, you know, especially to homeschoolers or other people like that. And I just said, if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler or even someone older, and you would like to help them to be able to develop their writing gift, especially in the area of creative writing, I'm your girl. And I will email them every week. I will look at their stories. I will give them ideas. I will Skype them if they want to meet me. And I will just do my very best to help them to be able to develop the best type of writing gifts that they can. And so, once again, these are all things I love to do. These are things that don't feel like a lot of work to me because they're fun. But also, at the same time, they're helping meet needs that other people have. And so, for me, it's just a great way to make money and to be happy. And, you know, it's what I enjoy doing. So, those are my businesses. Right here. Sure.
Okay, because you didn't say it, and this is audio, right, as well as visual. Rachel Coker writes at hotmail.com. Is this going to be on your website, just rachelcoker.com, and Coker is C-O-K-E-R for those listening?
I have a contact box on my website, rachelcoker.com, and anyone who's interested in any of my services can just contact me there, or if you have any questions for me or about my businesses, and I always respond. no matter how long it takes, as long as I get it. So that's fine.
I think this is a good place. The next part of our workshop is we're going to talk about basically how you get started. Stay here, because I think this would be a good time to take a little break and see what questions you have at this point.
At this point, an audience member, a teenager, mentioned that he had started a business with a friend. I think it had to do with video gaming. And I warned him against starting a business, a micro business, with a partner. I think partnerships among teenagers are to be discouraged because partnerships cause a lot of problems. Just the dealing with someone else that you're sharing the business with can cause a friendship to fall apart. Legally, they're complicated even for adults, but especially for teenagers. So I discourage partnerships, business partnerships. I think each student should run their own micro business, and then they can help their friends in their business, but each run their own completely separate businesses. Because I say that partnerships are like being married, but you're not in love because of the financial complications that that partner can draw you into. So anyway, that's my warning against partnerships. But then a father in the audience asked, what about siblings going into business together? And here's my reply to his question.
Yeah, partnership with siblings are a lot more manageable because usually the parents are there to oversee any kind of disagreement. And usually, though, again, it's a huge burden from the tax perspective. You know, you got to usually hire a CPA and file a partnership tax return. So usually I still recommend that one of the children be the owner, and they have a more informal agreement to share profits or something like that. Yeah.
When my sister started her business, I loaned her the startup money. She needed $300 to start up, and I loaned it to her without interest, saying, if you never pay me back for this, that's totally fine. It's a gift. Just keep it and pay it back when you can. And she paid me back within a couple months of starting it up, and I've never gotten anything else from her ever since then. It's totally fine. I do the photography for her business when she needs it for a photo shoot, but it's still a great relationship, and it never hurt anything between the two of us. So
you're what's called an angel investor, by the way. Yeah. Back here? Yeah. Comment or question?
We actually have a workshop for that tomorrow. It's at what?
Get an editor.
Yeah. Get an editor, yes. And do your best to edit it and to get someone to look at it professionally and, you know, give you an opinion. But I can talk to you much more about the editing process and the publishing process if you want to come see me afterwards and talk to me about that. I have a lot of information for you. And we're going to have a workshop on more about writing and more about publishing books tomorrow. What's that, 11:30?
Friday
at 11:30 in here. And we'll both be talking about it then.
Because I've published, self-published, and been published by a traditional or small press, but Rachel's been published by a traditional house, so we bring a lot of different perspectives there. One of the most important things is right now to get someone to critique your writing. Get what I call beta readers. So before I published my Micro Business for Teens books, I had teenagers read it. You know, and one of them, I remember, said to me, Mrs. Topp, you use this phrase, sole proprietorship. I don't know what that means. Okay, thank you. That was very helpful to me. I need to understand that many teenagers don't know what that means, so I explained it in the book. So you got to have other people read your book, read your work. And that, you know, that's true of just about any business. Volunteer first a few times, or do like Rachel did. I'll work really cheap to gain the experience, to work out the kinks of whatever you're doing first, and then to get better and better and better. And when you get better and better, you charge more.
Yeah, the same thing about getting someone to look at it. I also got my sister and my best friend both to read my book before it was published because they're both teenagers. My books are written to teenagers. So even if it's just a friend of yours or a sibling or a family member who will give you an honest opinion, that's a great thing to do.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Yeah, good. We got the crowd going.
If you want to start something, let me think, website. For me, my website was free because I traded services with another man at my church who has two children who needed a piano teacher. So I gave them free piano lessons, and in return, he gave me the website that had everything that I possibly needed on it to sell. However, my books are sold through like Amazon, Barnes & Noble and stuff, so I'm not very good when it comes to something like that. But my sister, who sells her product, found a website called Etsy.com that specializes in homemade, you know, handmade designs. And so she actually just did her website through there, and she's had tons of orders through it. And she hasn't had to do any marketing, any, you know, special web hosting or anything like that. But do you know anything more about selling
Yeah, I use WordPress.com.
That's my blog.
That's the free one. So your name will be like Rachel's, has a blog / website. It's rachelcoker.wordpress.com. I use WordPress.org, very similar, but I pay to have the website hosted and a domain name. Okay, so I pay, what, $12 a year for my domain name. I have 5 different websites, by the way. Okay, they're all WordPress.org based. You can take a few classes, online classes. You could just go watch YouTube videos about how to set up a WordPress website, stuff like that. It is pretty easy. It's a lot of fun, actually, to play around with different themes. Then I have to pay. I pay a monthly fee. You can get as low as, like, $5 a month. I pay $10 a month because I have those 5 multi-sites, okay? But it's fun. It's mostly fun to start out. Okay, any other question before we head out? And we'll have more questions, too, at the end, more time. So we got less time. Yeah. Yeah, you're asking about Philip. His website was called freeforums.org. And tell you what, if you come and watch get the video, you'll get a little more of his story. But basically, from the time he was 12 years old, he just was interested in computers. He would buy a website, these little tiny websites. Some of them were just like a clock or a counter website or, you know, just little tiny websites. And he would flip them, meaning he would buy the website pretty cheap, drive traffic to it. He learned through little experiences, then he'd turn around and resell it. And then he just kind of stumbled across forums, realized he really liked it, and he and that partner, John, the one who burned him, thought, well, we're going to try to launch our own website and see if we can't drive traffic to it. And I remember he was 15. I went to go check out his website. I could not believe it was written by a 15-year-old. You could not tell. It was that good in terms of the what they call the copy or the text on the website. And they were just awfully good at driving traffic to their website. I don't know how. That's not outside my experience base, but he was good at it. And the comments on, you know, from users would be like, would you please put your ads more prominently placed so we can click on them? Who asks for that? Oh, my gosh. Most of us hate those Google ads on the websites we visit. And here his viewers, the people who stopped at his website, were asking for the ads. So he had some good connection. He understood his audience well enough, his market well enough to know what kind of ads they wanted and where to put it on the page to drive the money to his pocketbook.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.